You might see a lot of different images on that screen of just places and ways people are serving Jesus. Isn't it awesome? It takes the whole body, and look around you. You are it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful scene. Every single week, every single day, how God is moving and working. So we think about one of my favorite times of year is this time by which we think about Impact Sundays, and we pause for a moment in some of our message series to think a little bit about the generosity of God and what is God doing locally and globally around the world through CTK Church and all churches. And if you're new with us and you're kind of looking for a church, it's a great time to kind of say, well, what is the church about? Most people that come and visit a church, when they come to a pastor's chat or a Next Step, are always asked the question, well, what do you do? What's the church about? How do I get connected? How do I get involved? In essence, what does it mean to be a part of this group? So this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to take a step back, take a look at what it looks like internally. What does it mean to grow in Christ? And what does it mean to disciple people? And how does it make us healthy and generous in order to do ministry in the world? We'll look at next week when we go out in the community. What does it look like in other nations? What does it look like here locally at CTK? So here we go. You know, it's an exciting time as we kind of dive into that. There's a passage in Acts chapter 2 I often share when we're thinking about mission and ministry, because Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47 kind of outlines what the early church first looked like. As it began, it was seeking to live out ministry in the context in which they had learned it from Jesus. And in that context, there was a section in there, and that piece is on the screen for you, verse 44 to 47, where it says that these disciples of this gathered community, hundreds of people by then that were gathered in this early church, first century, and they began to meet need. It says they sold their possessions and shared with each other as any had need. It says they went and met together in the temple courts. They met in community. They met the needs of the people. They had to favor the people. And it says God added to their number daily those who were being saved. So what you see is by then these people were on mission and they were meeting need. What an incredible vision to say needs are met. Imagine being a church where there's no need. Wouldn't that be awesome? See, something we often have to grasp from God is that in every church, everywhere, in every part of the world, God has already assembled in that church everything they need. Believe it? We often look over and go, well, that church has got that, that church has got that, that church has got that. But in the church, God is always equipping and God is always adding for the purpose of the church being generous in its mission and its ministry to meet need. Now, when you get to this passage in Acts chapter 2, verse 45 to 47, something's already happened. And what's already happened is the church has done its internal ministry, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It's done its internal ministry to be generous. Its internal ministry, as it opens up, it says that they were gathered in one place and they were learning together. It says they were learning the apostles' teaching. They were worshiping together. They were gathered in community and fellowship. They were praying for one another. They were meeting and at the Holy Communion at the table, forgiving and reconciling. It was that healthy community that then goes into these verses. And they gave to each other and to the community as they had need. Okay? So what does it mean to have needs met? It first starts in the context of our homes and our own lives and our own communities. It starts there. In the heart of a church, it starts with the maturing of our faith and our discipleship. It's moving with one another in our homes and in our relationships, in our missional community groups. It's growing healthy community. That's in ministry. So we all know that if we're in a point of crisis in our marriage, or if we're struggling in our homes or in our relationships, if we wake up in the morning and we go, you know, I got no need today, wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe some of you wake up in the morning and you feel, you know, I got no need today. When I think about it, you know, my job's working fine, or I'm retired and I'm okay, or that deals with the financial side, or emotionally, I feel stable, I feel strong, you know, I feel like I have a purpose and a meaning. You know, if I think about my marriage, you know, it feels good today, you know, we still like each other, and, you know, no need today. And I think about my network of community, I have friends, I have connections. Those are feeling pretty good. And I wake up, you go, it's a pretty good day. There's no need today. But you realize everybody doesn't wake up that way. A lot of times people wake up in the morning and you may be sitting here today with some very real need. It's not quite coming together financially. I'm concerned. Man, I feel emotionally lost. And I don't really have any friend networks. You know, my marriage is going through a crisis. You know, we were in the same bed last night, but it felt like we were a million miles away. You wake up in the morning and go, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Health-wise, you get up in the morning and you're just feeling poorly. And when we find ourselves in those situations, it detracts from our ability to be generous, doesn't it? In fact, it consumes us. That becomes our mission. I always say, if the family is struggling, that's the mission. There's no more mission that one can give, because the whole mission is, I just got to take care of the issues, right? No need. But isn't that what community is about? It's what the church is about. When I think about that they were gathered together and they were meeting the needs, I think about the people in all the different dynamics and abilities and needs and generosities. Some had their life together at the moment. Some didn't have their life together in the moment. And they're all sharing together. And amongst all that talent and all that giftedness, together they were meeting need. No need. Isn't that, that's the community. So when I begin to think about the church, and we think about the church internal, we think about the discipleship, the worship, the children, the students, all those aspects by which we're growing together to be spiritually, emotionally healthy people for Jesus. That doesn't just happen. It takes intentionality. And it takes the giftedness of the people for that to happen. And then it begins to pour out from us to others. So what I'd like for us to think about is, how is God generous to you? Just think about that. It's a good place to start. If we don't first think about how is God generous to me, then we're always feeling like we're living in a deficit. Like, well, maybe God was generous to that person because they got this. But the first place to start is not looking at your neighbor or even your spouse. It's looking in the mirror and say, you know, let me assess for a moment how God is generous to me. What has God done for me? We know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He's died on the cross for your sins. And those who ask Him in your life, He has forgiven your sin. He gives you eternity. He loves you. He's gifted you. He's given you spiritual gifts. All that are gifts that He's given to you. But there's an assessment that each of us need, or else we stay in this place of struggle. So we first assess, how is God been generous to me? Once I begin to understand, okay, this is how God is generous to me, then I can begin to think about, how is God's generosity needing to flow through me? Ah. See, we don't want it to get stuck in here, because the most beautiful state of life isn't just receiving, but allowing generosity to flow through. I've yet to meet a generous person who's with great need. Think about it. It's like when generosity is flowing, the other needs are being met. And we'll see that in a minute when I open up scriptures. And how it begins to flow. You begin to think, and it starts at first with, okay, where am I? Look around the room a moment. Look at your neighbor. Look at your spouse. It's okay. They won't frown at you. Aren't they pretty cool looking? But I would dare say none of them are like you. What you just looked at is a plethora of talent and ability that God has been generous with. Everyone's a little different. Everyone is gifted in a different way. There's all kinds of personalities, and with all those different personalities are all kind of gift sets, and each of those gift sets are used differently in a magnitude of ways that make the body fulfill its need. And it's right here, sitting in this house and online, because God is generous. And it's awesome, and it's incredible as to what that looks like. God's generosity to us so that God can be generous through us is where we want to be. There's a beautiful text in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the chronicler is talking about this generosity of God and asking the question, why? Who are we that you would be so generous? And I love how he kind of writes this, and this kind of pick out a little what he's saying and what that means to you and me. In 29 verse 11, he goes this, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things." Read that last section with me. "We adore you as the one who's over all things. If you thought you were over something, think again. You might be a subset of being over something, but God is over what? All things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, lest we believe we created that. For you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, lest we think we gave it to ourselves. And at your discretion, people are made great and given strength." And we could say the other, "At your discretion, they are brought low. Our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Verse 14, "But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you, because everything we have has come from you and we give you only what you first gave us." Hear that? Who are we that we can give anything to you, because everything already belongs to you and everything we give has come from you. Hear that, church? Lest you think what you have is really yours, think again. And verse 15 kind of lays out the place we are. We are here only for a moment. Visitors and strangers in a land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. That's humbling, isn't it? We get all this stuff and then poof. It's kind of like we talk about on Ash Wednesday, as we begin the season of Lent this past Wednesday. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. We talk about, you know, we came from nothing, we go to nothing, and without Jesus, we don't even have eternity. We have nothing. But with Jesus, we have in this life, in this flesh, and in this being, and in this spirit, we get to live, we get to have purpose, we get to make a difference, and then with believing Jesus, we get eternity with him forever. God has us here for a reason. The chronicler says, you know, when we're here such a short time, we're gone. Who are we that you would be generous to one who's here one moment and gone the next? Who are we? And he goes on in verse 16, he says, "O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple, this church, in honor of your holy name, comes from you." It's like he gave it to us to give back. And he says again, it all belongs to you. You get it yet? So what doesn't belong to God? Anybody name that? Everything. 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 Verse 17, he goes on, "I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there." God sees everything. "You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyfully." In essence, I've watched them share this generosity because of the generosity that flowed from you. What the chronicler does is move us out of our worldly mindset into a biblical mindset, into a godly mindset. Because what does it mean to have a worldly mindset? To have a worldly mindset starts with me. It's all mine. This is my talent. I developed it. This is my ability. I worked hard for it. This is my money. I got the job, and I maintain the job. This is my marriage. I'm the one who sought him out or sought her out, and I'm making it work. That's a worldview. It starts with everything around us. It's saying at the end of the day, I have an idol, and the idol is me. And I love to worship my idol, because look at me. And I measure my success by where others are or they are not. Because, see, success has no measurement if it doesn't have someone to look at, does it? See, I measure my success based on whether I've done better than you or worse than you. That's a worldview. But it's not God's view. The worldview is going to go as quickly as you are, and I am. The worldview is going to end as you and I will in the flesh. But God's view never does. But the chronicler does is say, wait a minute, none of it's mine. The talent that I have that I boast about, God's the one that gave it to me. The resource that I've been able to attain, God's the one that opened the door. The relationship that it allows me to be in are the ones that I stewarded, but they came from him. It's all God's. Any place that I've ever achieved or place that I've ever gone or any opinions, it all belongs to him. That's the biblical view. That's a godly, it's an eternal perspective. See, the chronicler is shifting us to move from a worship of ourselves to a worship of God. He says, everything, you are the one. He opens up greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty. Everything belongs to you. See, that's the place to start when we think about generosity. It's all from him. And it's all through him that we get a chance to live it out. And when we live with that place and we begin to evaluate in that place, we begin to truly worship God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our strength. So we can know from whom it all comes. You are because God is. Paul, in his scriptures in the New Testament, begins to help the early church understand how God works in all of this generosity. And what does it look like? And what is God wanting to do to equip people like you and me to be in the world? The chronicler asks, who are we to be in this place? And the answer would simply be, you're mine. I chose you. I chose you to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The chronicler is asking, okay, you know, this is your kingdom, yeah? Well, they thought it was the Israelite nation. It's your kingdom. You're the one who created it. You chose us to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And you might be asking, why is God being generous to me? Because you belong to him. You belong to him, and you're unique in a pagan world to bring the truth about the Creator God. That's why. He's generous to you to be through you. So Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 9, and I encourage you, as you're studying in your study notes this week and begin to dive in a little bit deeper, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 are beautiful texts to begin to look in the hearts of his people. In chapter 9, verse 6, he says this, and pretty simply, he says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Now, that's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? It's ratio. Plant a few seeds and get a few plants, provided none of the seed dies. Okay? That's a pretty simple statement. He goes on to say, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Y'all agree? So pretty simple math. Plant a little seed, a little crop, a lot of seed, a lot of crop. But what Paul's getting to is there's a giver of the seed. There's a giver of the seed that wants the generous crop. Because in the Bible it says the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. So if the Lord's the Lord of the harvest, do you think the Lord wants a small harvest if he loves his people? I don't think so. The Lord wants a huge harvest. So what do you think the Lord of the harvest wants you and me to do? Plant a little seed or plant a lot of seed? That's right. And he's saying, I want you to be generous so that that generosity produces a huge harvest. What's the harvest? People being discipled and come to Jesus and live in heaven with him forever. So he goes on to say this in verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. It says, not reluctantly or in response to any pressure. So when he's talking about giving here, again, he's talking about generosity. He says, each of you have to decide how generous you want to be, but don't do it because you're reluctant, you're afraid of something, or don't do it because your neighbor's doing it and they're pressuring you to do it. Do it because you want to be generous, because God has been generous to you. See, it always starts with God. It's not to something, it's from something. You're not giving, you're not being generous because you want to impact XYZ. You're being generous because God is generous. And God is doing a kingdom work through you and through me. So it goes on to say, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Isn't that incredible news? Do you believe it? Amen. Easier said than done, though, isn't it? Wait a minute. Are you saying that I can't outgive God? Are you saying that if I just keep pouring out generously, God will keep pouring out to me? He will meet every need? Well, that's what he's saying. But see, that's where faith and scripture kind of re-wrestle, right? We wonder, will I run out of seed? There was a little image this morning I thought was kind of cute. And I'll exploit my own family in this one. My little grandson, Liam, had for Valentine's Day received from his Mimi a whole sheet of little hearts, little sticker hearts. And immediately, as any small child will do, he's two, will begin to peel off the hearts and stick them everywhere, right? And I was over to the house when he got them, so he was sticking hearts on me. And I had them on my shirt. And I understand today he brought them to church and he was peeling them off and sticking them on little kids at school. And the first thought that mine, he's going to run out of hearts. You know, that sheet's not going to last forever. What's he going to do when that kid runs out? Do you think he's thinking about, I'm going to run out of hearts on this sheet? I don't think so. He's just thinking about, I got to give these things out. This is fun. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, I got you. More hearts are coming. In fact, if you run out, I know the woman who has more hearts. Maybe she'll give you some more. Yeah, it's not a me. It will. See, that's how God, that's what Paul's trying to help people understand. Don't cut off the blessing by holding it to yourself. He's saying, I'm pouring out generosity so they can flow through you for a great harvest that you get the privilege as my people to be a part of. There's no greater privilege you and I have than the kingdom agenda of God. He goes on to say in verse 9, as the scriptures say, they shall share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed. Now we get to the heart of it. He provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. He provide enough generosity for you and everything you need. God is the one who's doing it. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Imagine that. Enriched in every way. He's not just talking about finances. He's talking about enrichment. He will meet all need so that you can meet need. That's from God. Go back to the chronicler. God's wanting you and me to be in a position by which he can pour out. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. And I love verse 12 because it gives the bottom line. It says, two things will result. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem, that was in that particular case, might be here, could be anywhere. The needs of the church will be met, the people among them, that's the church, and they will joyfully express their thanks to who? God, not you. I say, well, I'm not giving if I don't get credit for it. No. It's not about you. It's not about me. About Jesus. He's the one where it all came. How can I claim it? He says the needs will be met and they will thank God. That's what was happening in Acts chapter 2. That's when the church was just exploding because they were meeting all needs. They had the goodwill of the people. Pretty incredible, isn't it? What I watch in this church, and I watched it in 2023, I'm seeing it in 2024, is this outpouring of generosity. It's beautiful. It's incredible. It's awesome to see you in ministry for the Lord in incredible ways. Financially, talent, your abilities, your time, all that pouring out. And I want you to see just for a moment, particularly if you're new to the church, and I often hear from those who are in here, I don't know what all the church does. We just show up on Sunday morning. There's a whole lot going on. Let me just share with you a little bit. This is just internal ministry. Next week we'll look at global, and it's really exciting what God's doing there. But let's look at worship ministry. We all came this morning, and we're in worship, right? It doesn't just happen. There's a whole lot of time and talent and ability and skill being shared. Think about Sunday morning, the three worship services, prayer nights that are going on, creative arts and decoration, production of sound and lighting, broadcasting, cameras, media, people viewing online. All you guys are viewing online because there's talented people that are giving their time to do it. Okay? It doesn't just happen. Instruments, vocalists, series planning, all these kind of things that go on. If any of you are involved in any of that, raise your hand a moment. Just everybody around the room, raise your hand. And they're all in the back, they're raising their hand. They're in the back room, raising their hand. And give them some encouragement. Isn't that awesome? That's generosity. It takes time. I come in here sometimes on their worship rehearsals, and that doesn't count all the time you're at home learning how to play the song. That's generosity, being poured out. Not only through their finances, but their time and their ability. I think about the teaching ministry and discipleship. There's so many aspects of that adult spiritual growth. You've got spiritual coaching, which is people that connect with others to help them grow in Christ. If you ever want to be a spiritual coach, see us. We'll get you connected. And most incredible opportunity you ever had. I think about the classes and the teachers that are teaching these classes. Some of them there on the screen. I think about the community groups and all the leaders and co-leaders and sub-leaders that are leading in those community groups that are taking their time and their ability to prepare and open their homes or open the community to be here to welcome people. The men's and women's events that go on. In fact, there's two folks that are starting to lead the men's and women's ministry. And if you'd like to be a part of that think tank right after church today in the cafe, meet us. We're just going to think about what would a united men's ministry look like. But they're sharing the talent. You're saying, I have a passion for this. I think about the mothers of preschoolers, MOPS, and this is not this thing going on. Maybe they do some of that. But this is mothers of preschoolers and how needful young moms need other people to care for them and to help care for the children, have a conversation. That's a lot goes on there, isn't it? And you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. Who in here is involved in a community group leader, classes, anybody in that area? Raise your hand. A lot of folks, he's high enough to be seen. Come on. It's not a bragging moment. It's a thank you for being generous. Give him some encouragement. That's awesome. God has poured into you so you can pour into others. It's generosity. Angie Hill is one in this congregation. Is she in here at this service? Angie here? You got to raise your hand high. I think she may have been at the early one. Take a look. She's got a little sharing. She's new to CTK, but starting to find community. Listen to what she's got to say.
Hi, I'm Angela Hill. I've been serving and still serving on the different communities, and I've been doing it for 6 or 7 months now, and I enjoy it. Okay, so being in community, being in a community atmosphere has really brought me closer to Christ in so many ways, so many aspects of just learning who I am as a person and how I can connect and find out my relationship with God, bringing me closer to God and meeting different people with their situations, circumstances. I'm able to look at myself and reflect with God what I need to work on, because sometimes until you meet someone else and what they're going through, I want to do inventory of my own self and bring me closer to God to give them what they need. And from my past, there's not too many places I can feel free to be who I am and genuine.
Isn't that beautiful, integrity and honesty? You know, that's community, so that you can truly be yourself and who you are and with other people that wrestle with that. You know, you were talking about meeting need, right? And you can't meet need till you realize I need, you know. And some people are on different sides of the need of grace and what that looks like and what that means. Just yesterday, Ron Gajelson and I were chatting on the phone. He said, you know, I'm in a group with other couples. I want to start another group, men's group, on Friday morning at 7 a.m. Can we have some conversation around that? I got some people that might be interested. I said, yes, let's do it. Let's talk about it. So we're connecting. They're going to get that kicked off and started off. And said, what a need that is. But that was, I'm already doing this. I'm being filled over here. I want to spend more time. I want to offer generosity. He works full time. Incredible gift. I think about young adult ministry and student ministry, how essential that area is in the life of a church. We all know the needs of students in our communities and young adults as they're launching into the world, the support and the encouragement for one another, but also all the people that pour into them. Who in here serves in that Crux ministry or student ministry? Raise your hand, Tom. Come on. There's clearly not enough of you. More need. We have a lot of need to pour into our students. In fact, that might be an area you might say, man, I've got some giftings here. I'd like to mentor young girls or young men. And I want to mentor them to Christ. I want to walk with them in their worship life, in their prayer life, and how they deal with walk in the world. Incredible aspects and opportunities of ministry there to lead into that. A couple folks that have been impacted by that. In fact, the students just came back from a spiritual immersion retreat. Catalina and Eva Deppa. I'll share with a little bit on the screen. In fact, they're here today. Where are they? Right back there. Yay, there you go, girls. Thank you. You're going to see yourself on the screen, so watch out. Okay, take a look.
Hi, I'm Catalina Deppa. I've been a part of Christ the King for 5 years, and I'm a part of the student ministry. How Crux has impacted my life and my walk with Jesus is that it's more than just more of a Sunday school thing. It's a place where I'm able to connect with people. Not actually people, you're actually able to connect with family, actually. Not family that you didn't even know you had. Family that you get to grow together, you get to learn together. And with that, it has impacted my life and my walk with Jesus because there's no way to put it in words. Like, it's amazing. This group, not only a group of girls and guys, it's amazing. They've helped me mature and see who I really am and seek my full potential in life. Without Crux in my life, I don't think I'd be here right now. I don't think I'd be actually sharing with you, all y'all, how Jesus is affecting me. I don't think I would have been as mature, as emotional, as connective I have been with other people and the people around me. I think I would still be in that little freshman high school shell and not gunning out of that. It just feels so right to be in this, and I couldn't imagine a world without it.
Hi, I'm Ava Magdalena Deppa, and I've been a part for Christ the King for 5 years, and I'm a part of Crux Student Ministry. Being a part of Crux has impacted my life and my walk with Jesus is by making friends so that I can reach my goals, being closer to Jesus and being close to the people around me so I can help them with their walk to Jesus. My life would be different without Crux because, I mean, I'd still have my sister, but it's just like we wouldn't be as close because we've definitely gotten a lot closer through Crux, and the people I've met, I've created stronger bonds that will definitely last a lifetime. I love you, CTK and Crux. Come join us next Sunday.
Way to go, ladies. Oh, you got to love their heart. And there's so many other testimonies. If you ever get a chance, stop in on a Crux Ministry on Sunday night. It's a lot of fun, and God's moving. You know, another area of internal ministries of preparing disciples is children's ministry. Anybody got kids out there? Anybody ever had kids out there? Anybody got any grandkids out there? You grow them in Christ, right? Grow them in Christ. And I don't know, it must take 30 to 40 people every single Sunday morning just to do children's ministry, to watch after your kids in a safe environment by which they're cared for and they're learning. In fact, the reason they're not all raising their hand is here because know where they are? They're back there, right, at this service. They're all serving in the midst of that. And what an incredible gift. A couple of those that serve, Matt and Vilma Wilson, been working in children's ministry for a long time, just pouring out their hearts and generosity along with others. Take a look. Beautiful couple.
Hi, I'm Matt Wilson.
And I'm Vilma Wilson, and we serve here at Christ King Children's Ministry.
So for me, one of the things that I find by serving in children's ministry is the kids give me back a lot than I would imagine. So I learn a lot about Christ through watching them, through some of the responses they give me, the questions that I ask them, and watching them interact with each other.
And for me, it means like serving with the kids is like I help with the babies, and I can see all the new star for the babies and remind me like God have everything unique inside us, and I like to see it in the kids.
Serving together gives us a lot of mission together, and we can do it as a family. We have two younger girls and they're excited about it too, so we get to be united on one front for Christ, and that's really good for our family.
Yes.
They're awesome. They were at the earlier service. And one of the fun things is we do let couples serve together. So, and that's a lot of fun to do that. We call it family on mission, and you get a chance to serve together. So you might decide, hey, we're going to join together, and we're gonna knock this out of the park in pretty cool ways. Stepping Stones Ministry is a really cool ministry, Life of This Place. It's going on right now at 11 o'clock in the conference room. And this is special needs. It's families that have students, children that have special needs that normally wouldn't be able to come into a worship service unless they have a buddy, someone to care, someone to learn. And there's a class that works with those students every single week, buddies in this congregation like you, that walk with them every week so that their families can worship. I know we have people that come here, use the space, come to the playground or whatever that says, we don't ever go to church because we don't get that opportunity because we have a special needs child. Incredible ministry, people pouring out. Hospitality is another one. Sunday morning ushers, greeters, when you're helping out with voting, cleanup, working with Steel Creek Community Place, those kinds of things. Who in this congregation works right now in hospitality? That was with ushering. Raise your hand. That's usually a lot of, it takes a lot of people. Give them some encouragement. All right? That's pouring out your time. You come a little early, you stay a little later, you get to love on people as they come into the life of the place, but always a need to share in that area. Connections ministry, you know, helping people that are here for the first time feel important and welcome. Man, what a beautiful heart of ministry. Care ministry, it undergirds every aspect of a congregation. There's always a need for care, whether it's pastoral counseling, preparation for marriage, in times of trial or suffering, crisis or brokenness. There's people in this congregation. Raise your hand, anybody involved in care ministry or prayer ministry. Any prayer partners out here today? Raise your hand. I see them around the room. Really cool. Ways in which you're making a difference in the lives of other people. And, of course, what undergirds all those ministries is administration. In administration, we got people that serve on your congregational council, your finance team, your staff support team. People that come in here and help run off material for children and students and all those aspects that keep a congregation organized and moving. How many of you serve in aspects of administration ministry here? Over here, and I see them around the room. They're serving these areas. Thank you. What a difference that makes. What a difference that makes. So if you're ever wondering, what does it look like to be generous in a congregation? You just saw it. That's the first four on Acts 2:42. They gathered together, they attended apostle teaching, they met in fellowship and prayer, they walked together in community with one another, and therefore they could live out discipleship in the world. That's going on in the life of this place. It's really cool. As we go into these next 2 weeks, what I want to ask you to do is to think about one thing: how has God been generous to you? We've got a pledge card that we share this time of year that has you begin to think. Ask the ushers if you'll share these with everybody, or at least every family unit. You can have one of those to look at. I want to walk through kind of to give you a tangible way to begin to pray and to begin to think. Once you all have one of these for a moment, I'll open it up. So generosity is tangible. Generosity is seen. Generosity is sometimes unplanned. Most of the time it's planned. It's thinking about how do I want to pour out. Okay. So start first with how has God been generous to you? And what I ask you to do is just pray. This is not under compulsion. It's not under obligation. Some of you are in positions by which you need to be generous to. Some of you are in positions by which you're ready to be generous through. And where God has you. If you're here for the first time today, you get the privilege. This congregation is being generous on you. The people have come together and they've shared all this talent and ability and treasure, so there's just a place it can happen. So as you begin to pray and think, there's areas that you can think through and pray through. And if you decide next week, I want to give my generosity to God. I want to say, this is how I want to serve you, God. Next week, you'll have an opportunity to bring this card physically, or you can go online and do it. And share it in an offering basket as we share together on this last Sunday of the month. But there's areas you can think about. Generosity financially is typically in two areas. One is general ministry, and the second one typically is around the mortgage or the building. There's a building ministry and there's a general ministry is what we do. And giving to both of those areas allows the ministry as we know it to happen. Then at the bottom of the page, there's opportunities to say, I want to pray. It's a prayer meeting. I want to pray for the church. I want to pray for the ministry. Another is I want to serve in the ministry. I want to give my time and ability and treasure. What I want to encourage you to do is to begin to think about what that looks like. In the same way you would think about what would it look like if I gave financially, what would it look like if I gave of my time and my ability? If you're already doing that, write it on here because you're going to offer that pledge to God. You're going to say, I want to serve in children's ministry. Maybe you're in a place that says, I haven't really started serving yet. But I think I have a gift and ability I'd like to. Write it on here with your name. We'll connect with you and we'll help you find that purpose spot that allows you to be generous to others as God has been generous to you. Look forward to next week. Take some time and pray. If you're online, you didn't get a physical copy, you can go online. You can see that electronic copy on our website as well. Next week, we're going to think about out. What is this church doing locally and you? And what does it look like globally in Slovakia and Burundi, Africa, and Guatemala, particularly where we are? You'll see some powerful stories of the movement because God is building disciples here are pouring out in places in the world. It's really cool. Let's pray. Gracious God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your generosity, God, how you've poured out on me and this congregation among these people. Father, help us to know more and more what you are giving so we can know more and more how you want to pour out through us. That's when life gets truly good. Father, I thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do through your people and the church here locally and the church globally, churches all over the land. Father, your kingdom move is alive and well. And it's powerful in the world, and it's changing lives every single day. We thank you for the privilege that the Chronicler talks about. Who are we? We are yours. We thank you for the privilege to be called your own. God, move and work among us. Use us for your kingdom agenda. In Jesus we pray. Amen.